Michelle Buteau, welcome to Tea Time.
I was like, my life? Yes. Am I going to get my life?
You're going to get your whole life.
Whole life right here.
What's behind door number two? Ooh,
close. Don't go in there.
Lots of clothes. Okay.
Welcome. We are so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be had.
You are
a genius.
You're wonderful.
Smart.
Oh my God.
So beautiful. We have to do our research, talented. Right? When we have somebody come on. But you.
It's minimal. Don't worry about it.
It is minimal. It's minimal usually, unless something connects. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ooh, tell me more. I wanted to know all the things about you. I wanted to like be your friend, know the things, buy you gifts.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I saw them outside and I was like, oof. They know how to get down like I get down. Yeah. I didn't even know that was for me.
These are for you because I did my research and I want you to feel like you're very welcome, very comfy, very cozy. You want to come back, be our friends, but these are for you. Open them up.
Go Thank you. It. Can you talk to my mother-in-law? This is.
Can you talk to mine? I understand. It's a thing. She loves York peppermint patties.
You know, that was my favorite dessert as a kid.
No.
When I went to the movie theaters, I would only get York peppermint patties. And when you brought them, I was like, how does she know? I did not know.
But you don't like mint.
No. That's different. That's a different
it's
kind
a
of
different
mint.
It's a different kind of mint. Yeah. I mean, if y'all wanted, if you felt inclined.
No,
but
those are for you. That's your parting gift. That's your gift right now.
She's so happy. And when I saw it, I was like, babe should have filled this up. So when she stuck her hand in it, she would pull out a mint.
See, I'm trying to be a better producer. It's going to take time.
That's okay. This is, you have produced happiness.
Why the Yorks?
I do like the minty freshness. It's like a bright pop. Yeah. I feel like I do love chocolate, but sometimes it feels like a French wine where it like takes all the moisture out of my mouth.
Yeah,
and I need some of that moisture and shit. And so this is just like a nice little pop of like, I got a little sweet treat.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
Like I see people with like cookies in their coffee or like I don't need to commit to a whole ass donut.
Yeah.
I don't even want a munchkin.
It's a lot.
I just want a little bite-sized situation. And you know what? It's so great because it's dark chocolate, but not too dark.
So some antioxidants.
You know, that sounds like, I know, that sounds like I was going to go somewhere
we
else.
We like all the colors. Don't worry.
You know
about
what
it.
I mean?
We like all the colors.
Like, look, I'm an equal opportunity hoe when it comes to chocolate. But I'm just saying, look, it's nice and my kids don't like it. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't have to share.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's what it is.
You got to like the things that your kids don't like so you can have all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents actually used to leave my brother and myself at home alone.
With licorice?
No. And they would go to the Cheesecake Factory so they can get the strawberry shortcake and not have us asking.
That's
so
nice.
Rude.
That's not
so
nice.
Rude. Both all
is
of
that's
us.
That's a core
That's
memory.
Not nice. That is a that's not normal. Okay.
That's some trauma. Let's unpack it. That's not nice. Wait, do you like an Andes?
That's it. Like, look, I don't want to disrespect Andy and his family.
Right.
But it's a little too chemical. Like, chemicals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I want to taste like a 90s commercial going down the slopes.
Understood. And that's
you
exactly
know,
what
like
this is.
Pre-menopausal, going down the slopes. How am I going to live my life?
Yeah, for sure.
Understood. Love it.
Since we're talking about York peppermint patties.
Ooh, come on, you got a segue for this.
Where is she going with this?
I got you ready.
I think you're going to New York.
No.
Oh, that's where I would go.
New York peppermint patties. Mm-hmm. Round.
Oh.
Circular.
Oh, you bet to the chat.
Okay.
I just want to say that before my wife and I got married and she was like, there's certain reality shows you have to watch. I was addicted to the circle.
Oh my God, thank you.
Yeah. And I followed a lot of the cast members.
Same.
And like became friends with them.
Sammy.
Yeah. And the Italian guy.
Yeah, Joey.
Oh, yeah,
Joey. Great.
Hit me back up, bruh.
Joey's great. And I love that he talks about his sobriety. And, you know, I just feel like when people hear the word normalize, they think it's like a hashtag and something, that I have to do.
Yeah.
It's like, this woke vocabulary. But it's like, no, just talking about your experiences so people feel less alone. And you don't even have to be the sober one. You can, like, know someone who's sober. And then you, like, know what to say around them so you don't feel bad all the time. Because half the time, people just want to have a fucking conversation and not have that be the thing. And so I love that. And I love that, like, Joey also made it e spicy on Dia when he kissed Miranda.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Was her name Miranda?
Yes.
I just saw the light bulb click in your head. I was like, oh shit. Yeah, and there's a Miranda in Sex and the City, and there's Miranda Priestley from Devil Wears Prada.
Tell me all the Mirandas.
And there, okay, and there was the mom in The Twitches. You guys know the movie with Tia and Tamara?
Yes.
Oh my, I say yes, but
okay, it's okay. Say yes. It's okay, yes. But yes. The mom in it, the twins' mom,
yeah,
is named Miranda, and she's so hot.
No dope. Way.
And I dope. Was like, cool. Oh, and also then,
oh, another one.
Not Miranda Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Lord of the Rings. And oh. She isn't a Miranda, but the actress is actually called Miranda in real life. Wow. So I feel like the Mirandas have some... like
I love... What does Miranda mean?
Great question. So I am named after Miranda from The Tempest, Shakespeare's
okay.
play.
Okay.
And Miranda means, oh, wondrous... like amazing, it means like genius. Oh amazing okay. wonder, oh amazing oh. wonder.
She does ask a lot of questions, and she is amazing.
Look at and that. My parents what's named me that because they were actors in The Tempest, and my mom was Miranda, and it became a thing, and my dad was Prospero.
Okay,
and
I must be jet lagged because I'm about to cry. That's fucking beautiful. That's fucking beautiful. That's fucking... No, it's not beautiful. I'm gonna get the leaky eye like Steve Harvey after his 47th like game show that week. You know what I mean?
Like, Michelle
too much. Michelle, well,
or Buteau.
I'm named after my dad. His name is Michel. He's from Haiti. Mm. And it derives from Michael, who is the
saint.
He's an angel for God, but he's like the he's the defender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's gonna go in and fight for a good cause. And so it me. And Buteau actually derives from bateau because we came over on a boat, not by choice.
Right.
Anyways, the mints are delicious.
And the circle was great.
I'm named after something.
Oh yeah.
What
are you named
yes.
after, Raven Simone Pierman Mayday?
I'm named after the bird that got released from the ark and never came back because they find land and didn't want to come the fuck back.
Yes.
Your parents actually meant that?
Yeah.
That was the intention?
And then they were worried why I like left the house early and didn't want to go back. It was very interesting.
Oh my goodness. I'm hearing Blackbird in my mind. It's beautiful.
It was nice.
I love that. And I also feel like as I'm raising these twins, they're only five, but you can sort of like see who they're going to be already. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're going to smoke for a little bit. You're going to speak four languages and be anxious. Like, nice. I already can see the
you
things.
Can see them.
You can see yeah. them, and you get pressure points, and you just make conversation, like, okay. And
are you going to teach your children how to roll correctly?
Roll what?
That gun.
Oh, okay. I was like, a body, a tongue.
I know.
What are we rolling?
Because you said, you said smoke.
And I'm like, you got a history. Listen.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it'll just be edibles or like a spray in your mouth by the time. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right.
But by the time those 5 years
they should learn how to roll. Learn how to play a record and roll it like a blunt. Like, that's like.
That's mandatory in society.
But also, my husband's from Amsterdam. So it's like, you could just go to a coffee shop and look at a menu and figure out what your life is, too. And that's what I love about being. I mean, I love many things about him, but specifically being with a Dutch person, the conversations around things that, you know, shouldn't be taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies, drugs, our mind, you know, healthcare. And I'm like, this is fucking wonderful.
Healthcare European for in sure. general, though.
Yeah.
Right? Europeans really are.
Wait, can we circle back real quick to the circle?
Hey! Yeah, look at that one.
That's a big ball!
I know. Get out.
That's a big ball!
Wait. Yes. So I just want to know the experience of a host of a show like that.
And how much money you made.
Because
what?
Because here's
Come
the thing.
On. Are you my accountant?
Yes. Surprise. Because my goal in life is for Raven and I to host the lesbian version of Love is Blind.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
And there are
why
some
is
issues.
That not happening?
Right. My my question exactly.
We have
this
some
is,
ideas why.
This is their issue. No, this is for real. Their issue is they don't know how to do the house reality element with people of the same sex. Which I understand, right? They think all the lesbians under the roof that see each other are going to fall in love with each other instead of the ones that behind
that
the
never
wall.
Happens.
But that's I'm like that's not fair. They it's kind of like saying that a man and a woman can't have a platonic relationship in my head because I think that lesbians can be friends with other lesbians.
Yeah, I think also essentially that's like misogynistic.
Yeah.
You know, that's just like then everything is under some sort of like male gaze and it's just like step.
Because,
you know, we don't want to fuck everybody. We can just actually just look at a person
That's
and decide whether we want to even get to know them.
Yeah.
So I'm so over that shit. I mean, you know, one of my best friends is a guy. And I created a character for him, about him, in my show Survival of the Thickest Khalil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny because the notes I kept getting when I was creating this show was, but when do they hook up? When does the Ross and Rachel thing happen? I'm like, never.
Right.
He finds love. She finds love. They're best friends. They check in.
It's hard to believe that. It's hard to believe that.
I'm just like, what?
there has to be something wrong, or it has yeah. to have that. And it's like, no, it does not.
But, yeah, but it's also on men to create more just safer spaces for us to exist as well, you mm-hmm. know, so we don't always feel like we're walking into a ditty party, you know, like it oh, can't shit. Be our fault. What were you wearing and why were you out after 10 p.m.? It's like, I get to be.
Yeah,
that part.
I get to express myself and I should feel safe. So, you know, it's like, what am I at the TSA? I'm ready to unpack.
No, what I love is that you're a boy mom and you still have these things. And I can only imagine
until
what
he tells
your
me otherwise are, because yeah. mama's out here. You know what yeah, I mean? Exactly. It's just like these are just two beautiful souls walking in the world, and however they want to express themselves or identify, that's up to them, not me. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, yeah. what are we doing? Mm-hmm. And I understand that shit's a reflection of us, especially parents. But I'm just like, manners. Kindness, thoughtfulness,
the base, the yes. foundation.
Yes, yeah. you know. Yeah. So I don't know.
That's not a normal thought process in America. That's more a European thought process. That's why you married someone from. That's more of a
yeah.
I literally heard someone the other day talking about just the simple things in life. They're mm-hmm. like, get the simple things right. And the simple things are be kind.
Yeah.
Take a shower.
Ooh!
Wash your hands.
Under them nails.
Just, literally, just like know natty. How to do the simple things.
Yes.
And you'll be fine. And that's why I think Raven and I should host Love yes! is Blind, the lesbian version.
Bring it
yeah, I was just bringing it back.
Come on, campaign.
You know, I just think that's really the message of this episode is that that's what should happen.
Yeah. No, I think it should happen too, because you guys obviously work well together and have, I mean, when I say natural chemistry, not just like, you know, within like, you know, your relationship, but you know, sometimes it doesn't work on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, that's pretty magical. So mm-hmm. like, yeah it's I different. Think, hello, I think they should be hosting it too.
We
so.
Already got a vote. Oh, let's put a vote together. You know
and mean? Like a really I'll good one from Michelle Buteau.
Yeah.
Oh my God, let's go. Put your hand in that pot.
Really?
Yeah, so here's the deal. You're going to pull something out.
Oh.
There's going to be a topic.
Okay.
Or a word or whatever. And we're going to talk about that thing for a minute.
Okay.
And then we're going to see how we can circle it back to all the other things.
Oh, my God. We're
just
in there.
We're just circling back, you know?
Oh my, wait, is it just more than one?
Yeah.
There might be like, there's like so many.
Yeah, there's so many in there.
There's like a million choices.
Like, this is random.
Like, what are we? Tell me Santa's not real, too.
What are we talking
about? What is
happening? Michelle, what are we talking about?
Boobs?
Boobs!
Or boobs. Or
I try to read it backwards, but yes, it's boobs.
We're talking about boobs.
Boobs. And,
who wrote this? Because you went over it like, what, two times?
The person who loves boobs.
Okay.
Yeah, I love boobs.
What sign are you?
We all have boobs. I'm a Leo.
Okay. And what sign are you?
I'm a Sag. What are you?
I am a Leo. What is it? All fire signs.
Shut the fuck up. What's your birthday?
We're going to be fine.
What's your birthday?
We're going to be just fine.
what? July 24th.
Oh my God, J-Lo's birthday. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Light-skinned realness.
It's a whole lot.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a whole lot. Yeah.
Oh my God. Also, speaking of J-Lo, you were totally in a movie with J-Lo.
I was. And I actually have a joke about how hard it was to pretend I didn't know when her birthday was.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Because so. You are a J-Lo fan or?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think it's a Leo thing.
Yeah.
I want to talk about boobs.
Let's do
about,
it.
I actually talk about J-Lo's boobs.
I don't know if this is my coming out party, but I just got my second breast reduction this year.
Welcome to the team.
Yeah.
How got was that one. For you?
The first one was wild because nobody else was like really doing it,
yeah.
you know, except for like Soleil Moon Frye, and that was like it. I really don't remember much except for it was like painful.
How old were you?
20.
Okay.
And I'm 47 this time, so it's like. Yeah, it was good.
I had my first breast reduction at 15.
Oh my God.
Traumatic. I was a triple D all the way down to a B.
Yeah, I was a triple D and then a G.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And did you decide you wanted to do it or did someone say, hey.
Someone said I needed to do it in order to get a show.
To get a show?
It's going in my book. We're going to talk about it in my book. But at the same time, I was like, if you're going to take my boobs out, I want a lipo.
Yeah.
I was like, one for one, bro. Let's go.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's different because when you gain weight, those boobs come back no matter what.
They do. Mm.
They come right
it's in
back.
The DNA. They just come
so
back.
So do you have an anchor scar?
Yeah.
Yeah. If those that don't know what we're talking about, when you have a breast reduction, underneath the areola, they make a little incision and then they come down straight underneath the boob and then like fillet you from the bottom and it looks like an anchor
because they reduce and lift
they push and lift. And what I found now, and I still have scars inside, mm-hmm.
scar tissue.
Yeah. And I have to get it cupped.
Massaged.
I get it cupped. If you ever need a good cupping system to help break up that energy, you don't live here, but that helps a lot.
Got you.
Yeah.
Good.
Are you happy with it?
I'm really happy with it.
Good.
Yeah, because all the women in my family have really big boobs, and they're so uncomfortable, and they keep saying, I am comfortable, and they have this big knot at the top of their spine, and I don't want that, you know? I want to move and be free and feel like I'm in my body, and I really do now. And, you know, I think the hardest part for me was slowing down. Because I did this movie with Alana Glazer called Babes, and it was premiering like 2 weeks after I got the surgery.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I just like strapped on a bunch of...
Yeah, all the apparatuses.
Yeah, and then
and there was a lot of like boob energy in that movie, including the fact that your boobs were voiced by...
Whoopi Goldberg. Our
dear friend Whoopi.
Yeah. Oh, Whoopi played boobs? That makes sense.
Those boobs. Yeah. Whoopi was those boobs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that was fun. Life is wild.
Yeah.
Life is like, how was your day? Pretty fucking great.
Whoopi just talked through my boobs. Well, you guys,
how about your boobs, babe?
Yeah, how about them? They're like...
Love my wife's boobs because I call them just a little baby handful. Just a little...
Aww. Like, they are here.
Yeah. They just go like this. Here. Oh, they're a little smaller like, today.
No,
just a little. Because normally I can go like
Do
this.
Do you think about them? Were they ever like a thing where you're like, I wish they were bigger. I'm okay with that. It's like not.
Mm-hmm. No.
Because when you have them, you have to dress around them.
So I had what I called birth control boobs for a while.
Okay.
So when I was like 18 and on birth control, I had these really full boobs.
You got a picture of that?
And I enjoyed that. Sorry. Then going off the pill, I'm going to keep talking.
Okay.
Then.
I just want to see those pictures. I need those seats.
You've seen.
I need those seats. She's 18. It's fine.
So no, but now is like a 37-year-old. Uh-huh. And here's what I've noticed. I don't sometimes feel very feminine. And I feel like if I had more body, more shape, more boob, I would feel more feminine or soft, because when I look at the female shape and I see it kind of in its like most standard form, it is curvy, and I sometimes I'm like, damn, I feel like a 12-year-old boy.
So interesting. Like my mom says, the grass is always greener when you're standing in shit, because as a curvy woman, I'm like, thin is more femme, and that's like where it's at, you know what I mean? So it's so crazy.
It's like I envy like you guys and your shapes more than I would mine.
I do feel like when I was on TSR, That's So Raven, I felt like boys watched the show because I had big boobs. Like,
really?
I feel like
not
that was
you
the
were
case.
So funny.
No, I feel like they came for the boobs, they stayed for the comedy, but like,
oof, is that a chapter?
Because that is that's a chapter title. They came for the boobs.
I'm coming and I'm staying.
That's really
good. For that chapter.
That's really good.
That's real good.
Well, listen, I'm writing a book.
For the second time.
It'll happen when I don't want to talk about certain things. But I bring that up to say, you know, during that time, I was largely boobed and thicker on the scene more than any of the other girls that I was really working with.
Yeah.
And the weird conversations that I would have around it, the amount of binding and this is my favorite part. My mom was like, your boobs are so big, but you can't show this fat part that comes out of the bra. Like, that's why I couldn't wear tank tops. That's why I couldn't show my arms. And there is this, I'm envious as fuck, but this beautiful embracing of the body now that I didn't get as a young girl.
Yeah.
And I think that you are paving the way in so many ways.
Survival
for the actresses.
Thank you.
How does it feel to carry that on your shoulders?
I mean, it's harder to carry these titties and the patriarchy than it is to show up with love and light and be like, you are enough.
Yeah.
Because I want to create the set that I never had to work on. Because, you know, I'm spending more time with these people than my family. And so when people say you are the company you keep, to me, it's not just friends. It's like who I'm working with.
100%.
So now that I get to decide who's on the call sheet, it's like there's rules. There's no yelling. Mm-hmm. You can say what you got to say. If you want to yell, go away, yell in a room and come back. Chemistry on camera is just as important behind the camera. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm really happy that my line producer, shout out to Willie Freeman,
I told him I want to I need the crew to reflect my world. And so we have two female camera ops, and most of the heads of department, you know, are female and non-binary. I want, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's got to make sense. You know, you have to, everything you do should, you know, get you to where you want to be. And so, no, it actually feels like more of a weight showing up to something for a 19-hour day, knowing that I'm going to have to walk on eggshells and be like, oh my God, is that going to be a Trump joke? Is this going to be a titty joke? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it might be the butt of the jokes, because I'm like the lightest one on set, or the darkest one. It's like, what the fuck is that? So yeah. It's just like, that is a lot of work for me. That's how I'm going to get a heartbeat in my eye. And I'm just like, that is crazy. But this is lovely. Even like sex scenes, because season two is like.
When does that air?
Next, what are seasons? Spring.
Seasons are spring and winter.
Yeah, we're gonna spring to spring.
Okay, that's cute. Yeah. That's cute for you.
Yeah, we're gonna spring to spring.
Spring to spring. I love that.
I have another question.
Go for it.
And it's about boobs.
Oh, okay.
It's just a rant, really, and you guys can chime in on this rant.
Yeah, thank you.
I think it's utterly disrespectful how bra companies choose to design bras for C and higher that look like ones that my grandma had. Speak, and then when you try to put lace, it's only like small. Yeah. Listen, my boobs can handle lace. Make the whole bra lace. I also would like to talk about the structure of the straps.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't fit. I have to get multiple hair ties and connect it.
I know the hair tie thing.
Girl.
Yeah, that's how I used to do lingerie.
And the duct tape. Yeah. I have a complaint.
Yeah.
You can file that complaint.
There are some plus size lingerie places that are like trying to dip and do it. And I feel like Rihanna's got a good handle on it in terms of like hiring designers to like dip and do it as well.
Take us back.
I would love to.
Little Michelle.
Oh my
where
God.
Are you? What are you doing? Who are you when you're
what
like in fourth
the Barbara
grade?
Walters is going on right now?
I'm sorry.
We want to know.
I'm just a white woman trying to interview you.
LOL, bitch. I was not ready. Not with the fake freckles. I can't. You can't have real questions with fake freckles.
I know.
It's too much.
It's really contradictory. I get it. It's confusing.
Right. Oh my God. Little Michelle, like how little?
5.
Yeah, like 5 years old.
5.
Where are you living?
Okay.
What are you doing?
That's so interesting because my kids are 5 now. I am the only child. I have always been very independent. I used to lay my clothes out before the night before school. I used to wake up early in the morning. I had an alarm clock and make my own breakfast.
Wow.
I learned how to cook. Well, my grandma taught me, my grandma Mavis. I named my character after her because she was my person. I think you have more than one soulmate. You don't have to like be in love with them in the way that we think. They could just be like someone in your family or that you met. That's Mavis for me. Yeah, I would like make little magazines and just try to, I was like a community organizer for no reason. That was probably very annoying. But yeah.
And this was in Jersey?
This was in Jersey. Yeah.
Were you the lightest one on the block?
I was. And also being Jamaican and Haitian, it really blew people's minds. And, you know, I think by the time I was 8, I was like, colonialism, look it up. Like, you know what I mean? Like telling teachers. This is like, how you not know, sis?
Did you find it necessary to overcompensate for the color of your skin with all the information?
Yeah, I've had phases. You know, and I'm really happy. Like, I'm really happy for them because I'm like, that's part of the journey, too. You know what I mean? But also being Caribbean and knowing that, because when people are like, you don't look Jamaican, I'm like, have you ever been there? They're like, no. I'm like, OK, so you just know what you see in Brooklyn or on TV.
Exactly.
And that's not so. And so, like, I always felt like very Caribbean American. But I really had to, like, figure out my vocabulary and, you know, how people saw me. And, you know, it's very interesting to have to put that on a kid because you're always being told and overcorrected, like, do this, do that, stand here, don't stay like that. But then also to add, you know, the way you look on top of it, you're really, I became my own advocate, my own lawyer. And I think that's probably why I started stand up because I went to so many different schools, too. And it's just like I was so done explaining who was white and how it worked, how history worked, that I was like, you know, I just came up with like one-liners, you know?
I love that.
And so, yeah.
Were you doing stand-up in school? Did you find an outlet there? You did it once you became an adult.
Yeah, I was really shy. I was really shy. And then I had sex and I was not shy.
Yeah.
I was like, you gotta listen to me, motherfucker.
That's why sex is good. Y'all should be having sex.
Did you just throw your boob in his face? Because that when I was dating guys, that was one of the things I did with my boobs.
Me too.
That was, you know, just be like, smack them.
Did you sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I use my boob, my titties, like as a vagina. You know what I
oh,
mean?
Yeah, we yeah, for sure. Here.
Titty
yeah.
fucking.
Yeah, titty fucking.
Let's
yeah,
do
that's
that.
A thing. Yeah, and it's safe because you can't get pregnant. It's
well, like close your mouth.
Oh, can't get pregnant that way, babes. Just so you know, a little sex education for you.
Aye, aye, aye. They really put the E in T, everyone.
So the stand-up career starts for you, mm-hmm. and you're doing that. And how did that segue you into writing and TV and all that jazz?
I think, I don't know. I think you just kind of like do all that shit anyways. Like you're writing stand-up bits that, and some of the bits don't fall into straight up stand-up. So there's sort of like a story for like a storytelling show, like The Moth or something, or it's just an idea that could be like a sketch. And so, you know, when you start to write, you know, you just never know where it's going to go. You just keep doing it sort of like spaghetti theory and see what sticks. You know, again, going to so many different schools and liking to talk to people and like actually needing to talk to a lot of people and always being like the new one and having to explain what it is all the time. Like, I just felt like that's probably where my hosting chops come from, mm-hmm. because I've had to stand on business since like third grade. And so that playground be rough. You know what I mean? You really gotta talk your way into that like dodgeball game. Yes. Or your way out of it. Yeah. So I also think just figuring out how to like be on stage in front of people I don't know. It's like, that the first I remember the first time I had to go to the gynecologist by myself without my mom, mm-hmm. and I was like really trying to make it's like a bad date, like I'm trying to make small talk, I don't know who this man is,
mm-hmm. yeah,
where you been, you know what I mean,
it's where he's like, going,
yes,
yeah,
you know, it's just a cold quick pressure. And so all of that kind of like
you've been writing for a long time, and sometimes, and I'm speaking from personal experience, if you do something for so long, it kind of becomes a chore.
Yeah.
However, you did write a new show, and you are one of the first female comedians to perform at Radio City.
Not yeah. one of the.
The.
Well, there's been many performances, but no one's filmed there.
No one's filmed there.
Like that.
Yeah.
And so when you were writing this special that's coming out in a season,
maybe summer.
Maybe summer. Winter?
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
That I know. And okay. that's December 31st.
There it is.
That would be winter.
That's winter. But the TV show comes out
in the spring.
Yeah,
we know. You got so much shit for us to keep track of in these seasons.
But my question for you is, with all of that surrounding the expectation of success, the fact that you're the first to film there, was it a chore to write that series? Or was it freeing?
I'm going to be honest with you and I might cry.
Oh, hi.
I don't have those expectations because you did that already.
Hmm. Don't look at me in the eye. But, I'm not good at emotions.
But you
That's
did
why
it.
I'm on single camera.
I know. But
I don't
like
emotions.
Like you really walked so we could fly.
Thank
so
you.
I'm having fun.
Good. I'm glad you are.
And we all should be having fun at this point.
Yeah.
Good you know you. What I mean? So like... No, I just write to write, and I love to.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I bring it up so much. Are you serious? Like, are you serious? Like, are you fucking serious? Like, come on, it's insane, and yeah, I can't even imagine because even like the emotional labor and just straight up fuckery I have to deal with as a 47-year-old fully realized woman in a loving relationship with two parents and two kids, and people are still trying to fuck with me, and I'm like, what? The gaslighting, the love bombing, the all this shit, and I'm just like, how did, like, I don't even know how the fuck.
I'm writing a book.
Yeah.
Third time.
Yeah. Gots to. And my friend Phoebe Robinson gave me some advice that somebody told her when she was writing her book. Write like everybody you know is dead.
Mm.
You could always go back and edit if you feel uncomfortable, but you gotta let these motherfuckers know.
You gotta let them know. And, you know, this isn't about me. This is about you. But I always said when in my interviews, you know, these women were the ones that stuck their neck out on the line for me to be where I am. And mm-hmm. now I'm in a position where people are saying that to me. And it doesn't hit because I'm a dissociative ass bitch, but like
how
else are you gonna get through the trauma and have good skin?
Yeah, that part. That part.
You know, I'm only 38, right?
That is the secret. Hilarious.
The secret to good skin is disassociate from your trauma. It's true. But I say
that's why we are glowing.
It's another director. But I say that to say, I look at you and I go, I wish I could have done that. Like, I wish I could have had the career in acting the way you are now embracing it for this generation in this age bracket. Sometimes it's difficult for me to even get out of my 15-year-old brain or move forward in story. Right. And you are furthering stories that I was yelling at the top of my lungs in meetings.
Yeah. The time was wrong.
The time was wrong. And it's like, you're doing it right. Yeah. And you're making us thick, light-skinned girls with talent proud. So thank you.
Oh my God.
I love you. Right, thank you so
night,
much.
Everyone.
Good night.
Is this the way out?
I dare you to open that door.
But also, can I say, it's just not the thick, light-skinned girls that you're doing proud. I think you're, because yeah, I'm not sure. That, but I feel really proud.
You're not a thick, light-skinned girl at heart?
Unfortunately. I mean, at heart, yes. Yes. Come on now. I mean, that's my dream.
And I've seen your 18-year-old pictures.
I know. And I get in trouble for that because I braid my hair and then the world hates me. But I'm just saying,
for women in general.
It's women in general. Yes. It's broader than that, and it's beautiful.
But that's what happens when you do good work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you do work that's calling out everyone, even the famous people, when you do work that you're like, no, this is equal.
Yeah.
Every culture, every age bracket, every person sees you. There are some people that walk onto this planet and they're niche. They're just this small and they create all this controversy unnecessarily, I think, and I'm just, tell me if I'm wrong, but the way that even the way your family is and who you found your love in and went outside of the box to find your true spiritual connection, mm-hmm. it's like we are the actual proof of the experiment that is America of pushing all of our cultures mm-hmm. together and knowing that we're one human, we're one species, let's move forward and we should all have equalness within each other. Am I making sense?
You're making sense. It's like the melting pot that is what we should be culturally, but then also like the individuation of,
and that's what people. You're doing in these stories. You're saying that you don't need to have a guy friend that you're in love with secretly. You can do that and mm-hmm. and proving that through all
you
of
don't
your
have to look a certain way.
It's fantastic.
And, yeah. Thank you. I really fucking appreciate that. It's I really fucking fantastic. Do. And again, it's like, ugh, it sounds like a hashtag you hear on the first day of school, but it really is like, be the change you want to see. If you ever get the opportunity, fucking use it. They might say no, you can push back. I feel like people forget they have a voice, you know, they just kind of take it. And who's a famous person? That's just someone that did something and just made a bunch of money. Who the fuck is that? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, I do.
I cannot give people power anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to give the power to me. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate, like, one of my most favorite things is like casting. Looking for a stud 25 to 45, looking for a non-binary thickums, looking for a trans mask, whatever the fuck.
Love
like,
it.
Let's get in there because people are like so afraid to ask. And can we do? Yes, we can. If we can't, somebody will fucking tell us. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get out there. And like, it's always been for me, if I get the opportunity to do a show, which finally, thank God I age well because it took a while.
Like, you look great.
It took a good while. Yeah. But, I wanted to always see my New York, you know, and that's why their diner, their coffee shop is a drag bar, because I grew up going to the drag restaurants and bars doing stand up and hanging out with my friends and getting paid in drinks and staying up too late mm-hmm. and shit. And I'm like, where the fuck is that? You know what I mean? And I love Sex in the City because that was the first time I ever saw all females on the fucking, you know, the call shit. I was like, yes. But now just like that, I was like, okay. And just like that, y'all got black friends? I don't think so. Like, y'all lived in New York City, got one Puerto Rican friend. I was like, we gotta
mix it up.
Yeah. And so
and the LGBTQ community represented in that show is so different than what it actually looks like.
Yes. And so I'm with for what it actually looks like.
Yeah.
And you know, Netflix is in 190 countries, and so I'm just like, I know I could be funny as the day is long, but how do we make it important? How do we feel seen? Like some of the hardest, weirdest conversations I've had with my mom around sexuality or whatever the fuck has been a scene in a movie or a lyric in a song. So I'm just like, let's start that conversation in a safe space. So
where do you think this mentality/perspective came from for you? Because there are people who are just kind of by the book or won't push through things.
Because they want success easy.
Yeah, it's like you obviously have clarity of vision. That's crazy. You are able to persevere. You are resilient in getting through. Do you attribute that to...
I don't even...
Who gave you that?
I don't...
It could just come from
it's
you.
It's innate.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know...
She is an only child.
I am the only child. My grandma, Mavis, had 5 children with my grandfather. And then there was, like, a lot of, like, other half-children because we Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But then she would just, like, adopt people off the streets. And so when you learn to love, it's like it gets greater, right? And then you kind of, like, see the good in everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, learning to love and take care of people definitely came from my family. Like, my uncle's the Archbishop of Jamaica. And so, you know, it is about, like, helping poor people. And I sort of, like, pick and choose what I like from religion, because I do feel like it is taking care of people. But, like...
Not when it shouldn't consume them.
That explains it, though. It's like you had exposure to many different types of people and just humanity in general. And I ask that because for me, within my upbringing, I grew up in LA and I grew up in a very kind of conservative white neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And my parents, specifically my mom, was so into just in it, not in a premeditated way, but just like in the way of, I love sushi. I'm taking my daughter to Koreatown and we're going to go here, and she would make friends and we would see different things and we would meet different people. That people that I met in my life, like Raven included, was like, you have soul that's different. You have understanding.
Especially from the neighborhood she's from, she shouldn't have the soul that she has.
And most of the people that I grew up around, I felt really bizarre around because they didn't get me, but I didn't get them. And I just had exposure.
Oh my God, you're like my husband. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see.
Yeah. Yeah. He was playing a guitar like when he was like 10 trying to learn the blues in Holland.
I love it.
Yeah. Good for him.
Like, what's he doing?
I like him.
What's he doing?
he's doing real life.
He's trying to call you to him, honey. Yeah,
he's
finding you to him.
He really motherfucking did.
Yes. But I just, I wish that more people had some of that in their mind.
Yeah.
Because I think that being fearful of something that is different than you makes sense, but also being willing to learn from that is so fucking cool. That's one of the best parts of life.
I want to combat that, actually.
I
want to combat. I want to say, I don't think that being fearful of change makes sense. I think it's a natural human reaction. And it's up to the quote-unquote high-level thought process that we all think we are because we have AI and computers and we're higher than thou.
Yikes.
That should make us then say, okay, let's change this. But then sometimes people do not tap in and they just go right to animalistic tendencies.
Well, what I'm saying, yes, is like lean into it. And I'm saying if you're somebody who is judging a person because they're gay and it goes against your religion and you think that those people are going, I understand there's a lot of layers to it. But instead of then making it your life's mission to ensure that those people cannot get married, just
shut the fuck up.
Step back.
That part's wild. Like, you know, it's so funny when you ask me that because as I'm thinking about it, I'm just like, why is love such a fucking concept?
Mm. Yeah.
Why is love such a concept? And it's like, you know, for the government, it's always been about control, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, whether we're witches, whether we're demons, whatever the fuck it is, which is so crazy because, you know, and I'm always just like, if you talk, people are always like talking about their Bible, then why are you not talking about love? And
they'll say Jesus loved, but they won't do it. They'll say he loved, but what about you loving?
What about you? Yeah. And how dare you tell somebody they don't have the right to their own body? Be who they want to be or love who they want to love.
Back to boobs.
All the way. Let's circle all the way back to boobs.
Does anybody have a problem with when it's hot outside and you're not wearing a bra and the small drips of sweat that come from underneath the boob crease?
Yeah.
And then sometimes, depending on what you're wearing, trickle down your leg?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's something wrong with that. And I need somebody to create a TikTok shop apparatus to help me with that.
Yeah. Oh. I try to like lean into it and be like, my body's working and this is what it does. But it's hard if you're like on camera or like at an important event and you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but like sweats. It is, yeah, the titty sweat is so real. But what makes me feel better is like my husband is sweatier than me.
Mm.
And so that's it's nice. Kind of gross, but it's also nice because we look like we've just been to like a heated yoga class. And I'm like, oh, body's working.
I don't get that problem from the boobs, you guys. No. I get it from the pits.
Got it.
I just like stress sweat.
Yeah.
I have a lot of social anxiety.
Yeah.
And we recently were on a carpet and it was awful.
God, this was great.
It was okay. It was awful. Okay. So usually when we do a carpet, we'll like do a few photos together.
Yeah.
Check in.
And then we'll like go to an interview.
What's
moment.
The go-to pose? Your go-to pose?
The go-to pose?
Oh, I'm always on that side.
She has a side.
Mariah Carey, you better let me know.
I know.
Okay.
I'm the Mariah Carey of Halloween. That
she is.
Okay, so that's the go-to pose.
Yeah.
And then we'll go.
It's this?
Well, not. I mean, I was putting myself on that side with my good side. I'm not really doing it.
Love.
Give me a break. This is not the fucking point. So then we'll go do a few interviews. But on this particular carpet, yes. It was very clear that they had no interest in me being there.
Okay.
And that was okay.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Ready, go off. Do your thing.
Yeah.
So I stood over to the side. And I was making small talk with a few people walking by. And this movie, I'm going to say everything.
Oh,
I'm outing us. It's fine.
Chill out. And relax.
So
story.
It's... No. I'm just going to say the names of the celebrities.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
okay.
This was for the Child Star premiere. That is a documentary, Demi Lovato... directed mm-hmm. and produced, and Raven was in. So people are waiting for Demi to show up, yeah. right? She is the moment.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on the corner and Demi walks up and I was like, hey, we know each other. I was, hi. She stood and talked to me. She didn't go and do the carpet. I know she'd already done it, but then she stayed and she said really, like, it was too long for my social anxiety.
And it was really
like,
close and eye contact. You know, it's like
yes.
this.
And yeah. I was working so hard to just be like, yes, how are you? And to like think, I'm like, Miranda, next yeah. thought. Gotta yeah. get it out.
Yes.
Like, keep the flow going.
Yes.
And she's like very present and leaning and like wanting to engage. And wow. I love Demi. Like she's a little angel.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Raven finally
yeah.
comes back. And I was like,
thank God.
I was like, no, I was just like, I feel my
I
shirt.
I felt her pit. It was like, Niagara I was like, Falls.
It looked like I had fallen into all the hot yoga classes that ever existed.
Right.
And then went swimming.
It's like a switch. It goes right on. I have that too.
It's like happening right now.
But sometimes it's like the it's crotch like sweating. Right
the crotch!
Oh my God.
Like it's the swass.
It's like.
The
yes.
swass is real.
It's
all
wild.
The
what? I have that problem.
I don't know, but the only thing I can say is I think it's supposed to happen.
Fair.
Do you know what I mean?
Is the body working?
Yeah, I think it's the body working. Like, honestly, because like. If like, why is it there? I don't know, but it's supposed to happen.
I started using it's natural deodorant itself. And I put it in any. Area that folds
nooks and crannies.
I put it in
like
all
an English
folds.
All the crevices.
You know what I mean? Got
it.
Every crevice.
Like a crumpet.
Yes. A
little crumpet down
like
there.
Like a little crumpet.
Oof. Yes, and people are standing in line. Yes.
Yum, 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 yum.
You have to. Jen Sterino, she does, was it Mega Babe? She's got like a really good line of like the chafing stuff and this and like
nice.
Stuff for your butt and whatnot.
Swass.
Which is great, but I always forget to pack it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because it's like you don't, I don't remember the extra step of like the titty deodorant. But
it's a lot.
Again, like everyone's got options.
This is
yeah,
true.
Which is amazing.
We also have options of shaving the titty. I don't know if you guys
shaving
have this.
The
where
titty?
Do you have to shave the titty?
You guys, I have little, you don't get little hairs?
Oh, like little nipple hairs?
Oh, yeah. I didn't see the hairs till after my surgery.
Same here.
Yeah, I didn't see the hairs after my surgery. And so I just like pick them out sometimes.
Wait,
yeah.
You guys didn't see them? Or
no,
like,
there was no
hair. There was no hair, but I think something must have. What am I, Dr. Oz? I'm not even on Grey's Anatomy. I don't even play a doctor on TV. So, I mean, like, what is she doing?
She knows.
She went
she
to
knows.
School in Jersey, three different high schools, I think. I mean, it's got to be something with testosterone, that's a word. But, like, something that happens when you, like,
disrupting the...
Yeah.
Because, honestly,
the ecosystem
changes. Because
yeah.
I also have, like, pores that get filled. And when you squeeze them,
yes.
it's, like, a little
Me
white
too.
Thing
yes.
in a little hair. Yes!
Okay, I have that,
it.
Too.
You do, too? Okay,
yes. And
yes.
I also... Yes, I do. I have that very much. I have that on this boob. And then this boob I got pierced. I had this nipple pierced. And that one...
Aye.
That one...
Did it hurt?
No.
Okay,
I don't have very much like nipple sensitivity,
okay.
but I know a lot of people do. But this one doesn't,
oh,
and it's scar tissue.
This one is like dead. This one is alive. So
I don't have that
two,
much feeling.
Okay, so I had either you had all the feeling or no feeling, and I had all the feeling.
Oh,
and
mama.
So it was like it was a lot. It was like a London Hue special.
Huh?
It was.
Stop it.
Not that.
It was
it
tea
is.
Time.
It is. Tell us.
Wes, is this okay, Wes? So
that's
oh my
really
God,
good.
I love that.
So Anyways, but now if you watch season 2 of Survival of the Thickest coming out next spring, not to be confused with A Beautiful Mind, live at Radio City Music Hall coming out
December 31st.
In the winter.
Winter is coming. If you notice, my left nipple, which will probably appear to be my right nipple.
Mirror image.
Nipple right.
10 out of 10. Ready to take a dive.
I'm out here.
It's just giving Lionel Richie hello the whole fucking time. And I'm like, goodbye. But yeah. And then like directors would be like, hey, did you? I'm like, yes.
Wow. You have that literally. Not trying to tell all about the sexual experience here at the house, but it'll take at least 45 minutes for one to at least say hello. Wow. It's so.
For yours? You
yeah.
Mean?
Okay. And honestly, that's to me a good thing.
45 minutes worth of
nipple
play?
Work the tit.
You know.
Work the tit. Work the tit.
It's like the nipple. Work the nipple. I mean, here's the deal. I'll make a confession. I have an inverted nipple. Inverted, and then one that's always at attention. So it's very.
I love Heidi. Yeah,
what's inverted?
The nipple. That means the nipple is in. It's like an innie versus an outie.
Oh, like a belly button.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looks like I have no nipple. So then I'm like, I mean, it looks like I have a nipple. It's just like divots in.
Got you.
I love Heidi. Yeah. I call her Heidi. It is weird. She's hiding.
She is hiding.
Oh.
And she's hiding. And so sometimes you have to like sneak Heidi out. But when we first dating, she was kind of embarrassed.
I was made fun of my friends when I was younger. And
do you still talk to them?
No.
Fuck them.
But she used to call it a crustacean. It was so weird. I don't know.
That's so rude.
It gave me such a...
Has she...
Had a crustacean?
Yeah, has she ever had fucking shellfish? What is she talking about?
Yeah, she liked to suck the meat out of the shell.
I have no clue. But that became my nickname.
How you do Naked and Afraid, everyone.
It was so traumatic. So I was
She was very self-conscious. And so when the lie was you had a piercing and someone pulled it out.
That was right. Because I had only gotten this nipple pierced. Yes. I only got my left nipple pierced, not my right. But then I decided that I was going to tell you that because I was so self-conscious.
And when she told me that it was an inverted nipple, guess where we were? After marriage. She didn't tell me the truth until that could have changed my decision.
What in the Breaking Bad? You know what? This is like Walter White.
I said, guess where we were. In my head, I was like, well, like in a Popeye's parking lot? Like, I don't know. Where the fuck were we?
Popeye's. Delicious. I know, right? In the boneless Kenza is going on? You know what? I really hate that your friends did that to you. I don't think that people understand that words have power. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm just like with stand up, when people are like, you can't say anything. Yes, the fuck you can. You just have to make it funny. If you're making somebody feel bad, like that's why I'm like so protective of my kids, but like in an asshole kind of way. Mm. And you know, we all used to get manicures together. And my son doesn't get his nails done anymore because somebody at daycare was like, boys don't do that. Oh, and so he's like, I don't want to do that. And I want to like kick down the door and be like, shut the fuck up. This is my boy. Those are his nails. Let him fucking live his life. And so I hate that. What are their names?
And I hate a man with crusty cuticles. Not a fan.
You know? No. Well, manicured man.
No. That's different.
I know, but I just have to say it.
That's different. I'm talking about the cuticles.
Yes. You know? No, I agree. And I think that...
I whipped her ass. Don't worry about it.
But also, it is interesting because you don't know who you're talking to necessarily. Like, I was so sensitive. And she didn't know that joking or that criticism would live in me basically my entire life and make me so self-conscious. And then I would develop a shit ton of other body dysmorphia complexes, whatever. But you don't know. You have to be... conscious of who you're coming for.
But I think that as a comedian, though, I think it's important to tell the stories of all people. Yeah. I think it's important to point out everyone's flaw and point out everyone's success in a joking way. I do believe in a spoonful of sugar as well. One of my favorite ones is George Carlin. You know what I mean? And, you know, you have some controversy with Dave Chappelle, which I love as well, but he changed. Something happened, and he no longer spoke
to me at a certain point. And I'm like, I can't. And I love old school. You know what I mean?
Same.
And so when you're on that stage doing what old comedians used to, but doing it a way that is palatable for the new community, for the new generation, I think that's really important because I learn a lot from comedians. They see the world in a different way. Well, and not, sorry, baby, and not everyone is a comedian. Your friend was not a comedian.
No, she was being mean. But it also wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't said in a way to actually be humorous. And it wasn't, it was attacking and laughing at, not laughing with or telling a story.
Yeah.
But when we were talking about comedians, something that we were talking about the other day was how smart I believe good comedians have to be. And it was, it wasn't,
I was like, yes.
It was in conversation about you, because I was like, she's so, so smart. And funny in that way, you also have to understand the opposite of funny. You need the contrast. And you have to have
a depressed being.
Grit and pain depressed? To you.
Yeah, are you depressed?
No, but I know depressed people.
That's,
I know depressed people. I'm related to them. And I know what it's like to be the odd one out. And I know what it's like to look outside and want to go in, you know? And then when you finally get in there, you're like, oh, this sucks. All y'all are unhappy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, like, make my own club.
I love that.
You know? But people just need to work a little bit more. Just work a little bit harder. Make it funny. Make it entertaining. You can say stuff. You can, Chris Rock once said, you can say anything as long as it's funny. Make it funny, you know, whether it's self-deprecating, whether whatever it is, just make it funny. And I feel like getting back to this fear-based bullshit, you know, I don't know why we have to punch down on communities that are already struggling. That makes no fucking sense. That's not even like fun or funny. Also, it goes back to, I mean, for me, it's always going back to misogyny. Like, the joke now about trans women, particularly Black trans women, and all these stand-up specials, you know, that, oh, they're trying to fuck. They're not trying to fuck you.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. They're not trying. They're just trying to exist and be safe and have equal rights, you know, and not be bullied.
Yeah.
And just find love. And so, yeah, it's not all about you. So, you know, and it's not just men. It's a lot of the comedians that are jumping on this bandwagon. And I'm like, you know, that'll get you but so far, because it really says more about you than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I'm good on that. You know, I don't need to be popular. I don't need to be liked. You know, I love myself and I'm loved. Like, you know, my friends and family love me down. And I don't need that shit.
Who's a comedian North Star for you, like when you were a child?
It was Carlin. It was Sinbad. It was Pryor. It was Whoopi. It was Carol. It was Joan. You know, it was all the bitches from the Golden Girls. I'm just like, everything they said, I didn't even understand what they were saying. I just was laughing. And that's the great thing, too. Like, you don't even understand what's happening, but you just know, just like,
yeah, you feel some
joy. You know what I mean? It's like when I do comedy in Amsterdam and most of those motherfuckers are telling a joke in Dutch, I know whether it's funny or not. I don't even know what they're saying. I'm just laughing. Yeah. So I, you know, not only is laughter healing, it's also, you know, universal. It can transcend a lot of different fucking things, like music. There's always going to be people like that, like who are mean and nasty and got a lot of shit to say. Usually they're people you just block, you know, like a
disassociate.
You
just disassociate.
You know what I mean?
Skincare them.
Yeah. But it sucks when they have a platform like being the president or.
Here's the deal.
Yes. As, what's the deal?
As co-chair of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, that's me. Okay. I want to thank you for coming onto our show.
Oh, okay. Thank you for.
We're not. I'm just thanking you because you're beautiful, light, fun, friend.
She's great.
Perfect. Real freckled human.
Thank you.
And just thank you.
Oh my God.
We're toasting to you.
Toast to you.
I love toast. Toast with tea. Oh, my beautiful ass back fat. Ew. Boop, boop, boop.